I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, December 17th. Ali Sleeman has been fired as director of Quincy Emergency Management. Mayor Thomas Koch removed Sleeman from the position Monday after he was arrested Friday night and charged with assaulting a household member and intimidating a witness. Police arrested Sleeman in a city vehicle at his home on Narragansett Road at about 10:20 on Friday night. Details of the assault were not released, but they were described as domestic in nature. Mayor Thomas Koch placed Sleeman on unpaid administrative leave on Saturday and then removed him from the post on Monday. Sleeman pleaded not guilty to the charges in Quincy District Court on Monday, and his attorney expects Sleeman will be fully exonerated. Sleeman was appointed to the emergency management position in 2018. He is also on leave as wrestling coach at Boston College High School. Sleeman is a U.S. Army veteran and a Quincy High School graduate. Mayor Koch says there are assistants that can run the emergency management department until a new director is appointed. Outgoing Ward 3 City Councilor and Quincy City Council President Ian Kame says he's not sure if he'll run for elective office again in the future. Kane did not seek re-election this year after serving 10 years on the city council. He says he'll focus on growing his Cubic Labs business in Quincy and that he wishes the incoming city councilors well. Kane says his time on the council will be something he remembers for the rest of his life. Councilor-at-large-elect Anne Mahoney is expected to become the next city council president. A 16-year-old boy was arrested early yesterday after a woman was shot while sitting in her car in Canton after what was supposed to be a social media marketplace exchange. Happened about 7 p.m. Monday night at the Lamplighter Village Apartments. When officers arrived, the victim, a woman in her 20s, was found with serious injuries. She was taken to a Boston hospital. Canton police and SWAT executed a search warrant at 6 a.m. yesterday at a house in Canton, resulting in the arrest of the juvenile. He was taken into custody without incident and is charged with attempted murder. Interim Canton Police Chief Joseph Perkins said the shooting happened after what was supposed to be a social media marketplace exchange where someone requests to buy an item online and meets up with the seller at an agreed-upon location. It's unclear whether the victim was the buyer or the seller. Police said the victim was sitting in the driver's seat of a car parked outside the Lamplighter apartment complex when a man approached with a dark-colored handgun and fired into the car. The passenger was not injured. That passenger frantically flagged down a man who called 911. Brian Walsh will be sentenced for the murder of his wife, Anna, tomorrow morning. Walsh was found guilty of the first-degree murder of his wife, Anna, on New Year's Eve 2022 into 2023 on Monday. Trial lasted around 2 weeks, in which the prosecution argued in court that Walsh killed his wife in a fit of rage after he found about her affair, dismembered her, and threw out her body parts in area dumpsters. Walsh's defense team argued that Walsh found his wife in their bed deceased and panicked. A verdict of first-degree murder in Massachusetts is an automatic life sentence. Walsh also pled guilty to the dismemberment of his wife and lying to police before the start of the trial. Sentencing had been set for this morning, but the Norfolk County District Attorney announced late last night that it would happen tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Anna's family is also expected to read impact statements before sentencing. A former teacher at Old Colony Regional Vocational Technical High School in Rochester was convicted of rape last week in Plymouth Superior Court. 37-year-old Andre Arsenault was found guilty in nine counts of indecent assault and battery on a person 14 or over, one count of assault with intent to rape, and one count of rape. In October 2022, a former student told Rochester police that in high school she had been groomed and victimized by her culinary art teacher. The victim said Arsenault's inappropriate behavior dated back to 2018, and abuse took place between 2021 and 2022. Arsenault will be sentenced on Friday. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute will pay $15 million to resolve allegations that it made false statements and certifications concerning its research. Dana-Farber is a cancer research and treatment center in Boston with locations in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. It receives grant funding from federal sources, including the National Institutes of Health. The allegations center around a time from 2014 to 2024. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the issue focuses on the misuse of images and data in research articles. Dana-Farber admitted that its researchers misrepresented certain data and images, which led to misinformation being published in 14 scientific journal articles. The Cancer Center also admitted as part of the settlement that the articles reused and duplicated images, sometimes rotating, magnifying, or stretching those images to represent different experimental conditions and test results. They further admitted that a supervising researcher failed to exercise appropriate oversight and that six NIH grants were spent on the publications in a way that is against the rules. Dana-Farber also received four federal grants based on applications that referenced one of those journal articles, but didn't disclose the duplication and reuse of the images and data. Demonstrators reimagined the Boston Tea Party for a modern political audience by dumping ice into Boston Harbor last night. Organizers with Boston Indivisible estimate that about 1,000 people showed up for last night's event that referenced the Boston Tea Party's 252nd anniversary. Attendees connected Boston's colonial resistance to the current immigration debate unfolding in America. The demonstration drew parallels between 1773's taxation without representation and what participants called government overreach from the Trump administration. Organizers brought what they described as clean ice, approved by the State Department of Environmental Protection. Demonstrators commemorated the day when colonists flung tea into the harbor in protest of King George's regime. Organizers said Bostonians have always refused to bow down and have been a voice for the nation. They believe the event's turnout upholds that reputation and hope it will inspire others to speak up. 24 Kemp's Ridley sea turtles are rehabilitating in Florida after the frigid waters off Cape Cod left them struggling with frostbite, pneumonia, and abrasions. The 24 endangered sea turtles arrived at the Loggerhead Marine Life Center in Juneau Beach, Florida on December 9th, thanks to the nonprofit organization Lighthawk. Last year, the center welcomed another bunch of cold-stunned turtles that were released into the Atlantic months later. They're expected to remain at the facility until spring. They'll be released into the Atlantic to make their way back to New England. The turtles suffer from a condition called cold stunning, which requires treatment with antibiotics, fluids, and nebulization. Cold stunning occurs in extremely frigid temperatures and causes the cold-blooded sea turtles to become lethargic and lose mobility. And Kemp's Ridley, Loggerhead, and Green sea turtles are typically affected. The turtles migrate north in the summer, and many get stuck while heading south in the Hooked Peninsula of Cape Cod. According to the New England Aquarium, as the ocean temperatures drop, the turtles become lethargic, emaciated, and hypothermic. They begin washing ashore, where volunteers rescue them and take them to the Sea Turtle Hospital at the Quincy Shipyard. So far, during the annual cold stunning phenomenon that began on November 7th, they have treated 472 hypothermic turtles. Check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 302. The NASDAQ rose 54. The S&P dropped 16. Shares advanced in Europe and Asia as strong buying of technology shares helped lift some benchmarks, while the price of U.S. crude briefly surged more than 2% after President Trump ordered a blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers into Venezuela. The dollar rose, the euro was down, oil at $56 a barrel. In sports, the Bruins beat Utah 4-1. They'll be hosting Edmonton tomorrow night at 7. The National Weather Service forecast. For today, partly cloudy, windy, and milder with highs in the mid-40s. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 25. Tomorrow, sun and clouds at a high of 48. On Friday, rainy and windy. Could be gusts to 50 miles per hour on Friday, but it will be mild with a high Friday, 58 degrees. Partly cloudy Saturday and a high of 38. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Southwesterly winds, 15 to 20, gusting to 35 knots. High tide, 9:19 a.m. Sunrise, 7:07. Sets at 4:13. A traffic note, Four River Bridge, scheduled to open at 11:30 this morning. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, December 17th.